Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we're collectively emanating. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'd also like to gift my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance, to you at goldenkey.gift, where you can get the audio or ebook as my gift by using the code POSITIVEHEAD at checkout. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. So happy to be here with you guys, as always. Really excited to have my good friend Christopher Jackson here with me to help co-host and answer a question from a listener today. And actually, this question really went into a lot longer answer than I anticipated, and just all kinds of other topics. It just spun off into Chris has so much wisdom to share. And so what I've decided to do is actually break this into two episodes. So this is episode one, and then you can catch episode two, the second half of this. We'll find a good place to break it here, part way through. And then episode two will be coming out on the next daily episode. Chris, welcome, my friend.
Howdy ho. Thank you.
Howdy ho. Howdy ho. Yeah, we've been talking about having you back on for some time, and I was really stoked to see your video that you put out last week. I've been telling this guy forever, all you listeners out there, I've been telling him forever, he needs his own podcast. He's like definitely cut from the same cloth. He has a lot of information coming through him that the world definitely is ready for. And so this is a great way to kind of, help push you off that ledge. I know you're juggling a million and one things, but definitely every time, you and I have the conversations that we have, it's like you have so much good to share. So I look forward to helping to get it out there as much as I can and see where that all develops.
Thank you. And
yeah, man. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to take a few questions. And been getting a lot of great, great questions. And I know Chris will have some really unique insight as well. So we're going to get to those in a minute. Before we do, I would like to take a moment and read a review on iTunes. You guys know the drill. I love, love, love my iTunes reviews. They not only help us to reach new people, but certainly help to fuel my fire to continue this labor of love. And this one came in by Lisa CPT. And Lisa said, the title is After 25 plus years of clinical depression. In May, I started playing around with burning sage to cleanse negative energy and stumbled upon a sweet grass candle at a local alchemy store here in Chicago. It was life-changing. I went on to pushing myself to practice mindfulness, staying positive, and meditating. I stumbled upon this podcast in November of 2017 after 25 years of depression, 16 years of various therapists, group, individual, and psych wards, plus medications that made my quality of life worse. I am at peace with those failed attempts because this podcast has brought everything together since I introduced myself to a spiritual approach. I tell everyone I can about the podcast daily. Yes, daily. I practice and put things into motion from your podcast. Writing this brings tears of joy because just a year ago, I was unemployed, living with toxic people, and ridden with suicidal ideations. I now feel overwhelmed with hope. I have manifested a life I never thought I would have again. Even on days when I feel down, I reflect on notes from your podcast, and it truly helps. Thank you for your podcast that is helping me heal and encourage me to spread positivity, Lisa L. in Chicago. Wow, that's quite the review, Lisa.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I definitely am humbled and honored to play a small role in your unfolding story. And, it's one of those things, when you've had enough of going down a certain path, other paths emerge. And, of course, you're doing the work. And like I said, playing a small role in your story is a privilege and an honor. And just keep up the good work. So, Chris, you chose some questions, actually. So we get a lot of questions, and I let Chris not only pick out a couple that he felt called to talk about, but also, of course, giving him the DJ controls at the end of the show as well. So let's dive in, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so this one came in from Peggy, and Peggy said, Brandon, I feel so grateful to have found your show just in time for the beginning of this new year, this beautiful new year. Your vibe and the topics you cover resonate so deeply with me, and I'm now a hopelessly addicted daily listener. Thank you for your generous work. I wanted to share something that's been helping joy to flow through my life more freely in recent days. At a certain point last year, I realized that I'd been living my life through the lens of black and white thinking. I always subconsciously categorize people and things as good or bad, or trying to create definite do this or do that ways to handle situations in my life. As we know, however, life is hardly ever black and white, and concepts like good and bad are subjective illusions. My attempts to oversimplify and live by clearly defined rules were making me miserable, because rather than seeing people in situations as they were, I was stuck in categorization mode, grasping for conceptual control and struggling constantly as a result. I realized this way of thinking wasn't serving me and decided to throw it out entirely. Since then, I'm less resistant to the energy that surrounds and flows through me. I take each person and situation on an individual basis without attaching preconceived assumptions or judgments. It's not my job to label or categorize anything, and realizing this has brought me such peace. I feel like I'm finally interacting with life on a more awakened, energetic level rather than getting in my own way. I can't believe it took me so long to get here, but I'm happy to have arrived. I wonder if this is something you or your listeners have grappled with in the past, or maybe grappling with now. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though I know how busy you are. Anyway, sending much love, and I hope you have an exquisite day. And that was, let's see, that was from Peggy. Yeah, so, Chris, I know this is something you and I have talked about personally quite a few times. So, you know, yeah. Let's dive in. What's your perspective on that whole topic?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, this is really, like, I think one of the reasons I chose this was because I feel like this is a fundamental breakdown for many of us, you know, today in our society. It's, you know, there's this dichotomy that I think we've even kind of touched upon in some of our other shows that we did together, where we have like the material realm of reality and the etheric realm of reality. And there's this amazing connection with those, like matter and mother. You know, what do they have in common? Well, you know, mother and matter, like matter holds on to itself, it protects. It also reflects the past. So, you know, you can see all the past that's happened on the floor, right?
Right.
As where Aether and Father, they want to set you free and they hold on to nothing. And that's where we draw the future in from. Like, we literally pull the future out of the air as an idea that then feeds the fire of our wills to then heat up the waters of our emotions, to then shape the earth of our physicality and action into giving birth to reality. Like, that we are literally conduits to source or God or whatever you want to call it, expressing itself into the gift present moment to share with each other. You know, and I love that word present, you know, because it's present as a gift. It's also like, yep, that we're presenting literally, yeah, the gift to each other.
Right.
And then like touching upon this, like realizing that these two domains actually work in opposite reflections to one another, you know, that the masculine and the feminine in this sense, you know, not to be confused with man and woman, but really the different polarity aspects to reality operate, right, in opposition to each other, like paradoxically, right? Like, what's true in the material sense is the opposite of what's true in the etheric sense.
Right.
So where, and like one of the simplest ways I love to share this with people is to say, you're familiar with like Venn diagrams when you put like three colors together, right? You've got like the red, mm-hmm, green, and blue in light.
In the middle. Yep.
And so those three colors, you know, are considered three primary when you're talking about light, you know, and then you've got the three secondary colors, which it's escaping me right now what those are, but then you have one tertiary color in the middle. So those three spheres then create, you know, three secondary segments of overlap. And then there's one tertiary where all three come together, and that creates the seventh color, which is white in terms of light, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can invert that and think of it in terms of matter. You put all color together in terms of light, you get white. You put all color together in terms of matter, like paint or pigments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black or dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where the etheric connects to the light, the material connects to ultimate density, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dark. And right. You see that these worlds are essentially, it's almost like the stratification of language through frequency. Too abstract right now, but really like bring this back to applying it to what we're talking about here, that what's true. We've also connected these to different parts of the brain before, right? That you have the lower half of the brain, which you could say is like the subconscious, but that corresponds to the material realm or domain of reality, and matter functions on, I like this because it also relates to, it gives us a different context to kind of interpret biblical stories like the Eden story. That the brain stem, as an example, which is most connected to our physicality and our physical consciousness. It's often referred to as the reptilian brain. That serpent on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? From that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's evil spelled backwards?
Live.
Yeah. And so let's call it live or evil. Like, separating the material domain and the etheric is to think that the material domain deals with factual things, right?
Right.
Like actual, like what exists in the material sense. Etheric realm deals with conceptual stuff, like ideas, right?
Right.
And
right.
So the etheric sense actually, like, that's the neocortex of our brain, which can be divided into two hemispheres. And then you've got the brainstem and the limbic brain, which are, you know, you can split these apart across like the four elements also, like that your brainstem is earth, which corresponds to like literally your physical. And the limbic brain can correspond to, which is what we share with all mammals, is like the emotional aspect of our being. Right. And you could call that Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the right hemisphere of our neocortex as fire, which we could call Adam. Right.
Right. Right.
And then the left hemisphere of the neocortex, you could correspond to the element of air or the divine father. Right. So the brainstem, earth, would be like the mother, the divine mother, Mother Earth, right? And then you've got here the neocortex as being air, like the divine father, Father Sky and Mother Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you see that those things, now we start to look at the distinctions of what those worlds do and how they work, you know, really well parallel to each other. Like the material consciousness, actually, like our brainstem survival instincts, like that reptilian consciousness is literally like the things that keep us alive so that we can continue to live in the gift of the present. Right.
Right.
Keeps our physical body intact. So now when totally. I said like, let's call it live or evil instead of good and evil or good and bad. And this relates back to, you know, what
the question
wrote to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that good and bad are ideals. They're ideas. right? Concepts. They're qualitative. Right. Qualities are conceptual, right? Mm-hmm. As where live and evil is just matter of fact. There are things that will support your physical existence staying intact, and there are things that will disintegrate your physical matter, right?
Right.
Is that all making sense?
Totally. Yeah. I love where you're going with it, because it's such a different, like, it's such a different path than I would take, but yet such a fascinating way to sort of dive in and analyze this whole concept of good and bad.
Yeah. And the thing I love about it is that I feel like right now in the consciousness realms, you know, there is this kind of polarization that is happening. You know, I've heard this often referred to. I think there's a book out there called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, right? Where we kind of, you know, part of our conscious evolution journey is to kind of come out of the darkness into the light.
Mm-hmm.
Very often we go from, you know, what some people would say is like the bad, right? Or mm-hmm. evil aspect of life into the good. Or the light. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, you know, we're kind of reinforcing this dichotomy around life of good and bad, which basically, right. you know, in that I love bringing this back to the biblical story also, because it's like, it gives this empowering context to recontextualizing these stories in a way that really empower us. You know, mm-hmm. and transform our way of thinking rather than being just a historical document, you know, and dogmatic elements. Now we've got this kind of thing that, wow, it actually gives us a glimpse into deconstructing reality and really being empowered in it. The deal here is you look at in that story, there's a part where it says that once Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they could no longer eat from the tree of life. And I think that's brilliant, because you see that life actually functions based on life and death, light and dark, you know, that you require both sides of duality,
right,
to have the gift of the present, you know. And this also right. works, like, if you imagine when we talked about matter and aether, mother and father,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really kind of the separation. You can correspond this to the Big Bang concept, where everything was once one, right? And then it exploded or expanded, however you want to think of that, mm-hmm. you know, dramatically. And in that expansion, it actually, you have the separation of yep. all that was once one, now into polarization, where that which is most dense and that which is most light, or light and dark, or masculine, feminine, however you want to look at it. It also created the time space.
Yeah. And then you have the theory that it will all collapse back on itself again. So it's sort of like the mirroring sure. of separation, unification that I believe sort of plays out throughout eternity. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, we go through these cycles.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then inside of that, now where we're looking at these things is almost spheres, like circles. And I love the Venn diagram thing really works again here. And we've talked about this before. You've got, so the material realm on one side, which is reflects the past and mother. And then you've got the etheric realm on the other side, which, you know, holds the future, right? And father. And where they start to coalesce around each other again, and they intersect, you now have the past and the future where they come together. That's so one became two. Now where the two intersect, you get the Holy Trinity, or the three.
Right. Right.
And then that shape that comes together, this is also, like, you know, brilliant. When you start to see how perfect all of this stuff is, you get literally this vagina shape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call it the cosmic yoni, which is the present. So where the past and the future intersect, you get the present, the gift, which is what we're born through.
Right.
And then inside of that third segment now, you have, so we had one became two, and then where the two intersect, you get three. Then you have inside of that like elliptical shape or the vagina shape, where you turn it horizontally now and you get the eye.
Right.
Like our literally, you know, like the eye shape, almond shape. And then yep. where you now connect all of those four points of like the terminals, right? And mm-hmm. you get a cross, like literally the cross section between the past and the future is so you got the number four, then there's a fifth point that comes, emerges in that cross section in the center.
Right.
Really, you could think of it as our spirit, or the spirit or the force of the divine separating itself out, right? Where you had two, now this creates a space for four dimensions, and where you had just pure matter and aether before, now you get water and fire.
Right.
Right. Or you could look at it as, you know, water and air, and you had fire and matter before, but whatever right. it is, you put all of these things together, and there's this amazing thing that you see, like we're literally born into this cross of physicality.
Our cross to bear, right?
Right. And then this is where we talk about like everybody has their cross to bear. You know, in the first stage of our life, you can look at it. Now, this is where it's beautiful that cross becomes like a pentagram, because you've got, mm-hmm. remember, the cross is not just those four terminals, but it's also the center point, the fifth point.
Right.
And a pentagram is five points on it. You know, when you look at that as a two-dimensional representation, you see it as, you know, a star. But you could also look at each one of those points as being a projection point, right?
Right.
So it's like projecting out that perspective of the whole, right? So now where you have like spirit, which is literally the center point or the force of separation. And it's also the space that holds four points together, right? Mm-hmm. And projects those out. Now you have this context of, well, so the first stage of our life, our spirit literally descends under the cross of matter and the weight of it. Right. And then we get like our cross gets loaded up with all of this stuff, this information about what we are, what life is. Take on the weight of all of that, and it becomes our cross to bear.
You know, this is where the good or bad and all these ideas sort of come into play.
Absolutely. Because, well, then now you start to see that what's happening is, on a material sense, you have things that are either live or evil. Right. Mm-hmm. Which things that will either support your physical existence and things that will disintegrate it. Right.
Right.
Now, then you have the more masculine aspect of our consciousness or being, which is, you know, the conceptual, creating interpretation of that. Right. And this is what makes, remember, the neocortex is what makes us superior to the rest of the animals, and that it gives us the capacity to tell stories, right? And this has facilitated us being superior evolution in an evolutionary sense to the rest of the animal kingdom, you know, mammals and reptiles, right? And at the same time, it also has certain places where it creates illusions that are not always serving us, you know, because we can create stories around things that are not true in a relative sense. But they're not the whole truth, right? They're relative truth to that perspective.
Right.
So now what we see is where live and evil is just matter of fact. Now we create these concepts around live or evil that are good and bad.
Right.
And so where material consciousness, this is where I like to think of it, that everything is actually valuable. All of these ideas and notions are valuable, but now rather than being caught up in this way of, what did she call it? Like labeling or,
yeah, what was the term she used? She used, I was always subconsciously categorizing people and things as good or bad, or trying to create definitive do this or do that ways to handle situations in my life.
So the definitive do this, do that, the judgment, the oversimplification and the categorization, you know, that sometimes it actually serves us, but then there's many times where it may not serve us, or we have to look at what's the impact that those, that categorization is having on us. Right.
Right.
And, you know, in this sense, I like to say also that, you know, when you zoom out and you look at everything from like a God's eye level, you know, or an eagle eye rather than being in the middle of it,
right,
you know, you can all of a sudden see that there are these periods going through as a species, you know, and as a consciousness of this planet, where, like, let's say for the last 20,000 plus years, you know, the most important thing for us was mastering survival, right?
Right.
And we had limited resources and technology to actually, you know, provide survival for everyone. In some cases, you would have, you know, so many people living in a certain area, and let's say you wouldn't necessarily have enough food or resources to provide shelter for all of them. Well, then that immediately creates the context of this whole survival of the fittest, like this maternal context, right? Of your individuality and separation from everything, and that you need to actually prioritize your individuality over the individuality of other entities to continue to survive, right? Well, that's all been perfect for the past 20,000 years. And now let's add another layer to that perfection and say that we've now got the technology. We now have the capacity to feed and shelter, take care of every being on this planet.
Right.
And so now we've mastered survival to such an extent. And this is also interesting. It's kind of like, I like to think of it as like the caterpillar into the butterfly, you know, this whole transmutation and transformation.
There's an interesting thing, metamorphosis.
But there's an interesting thing that I think we're all seeing right now, which is that, you know, we've mastered survival. And now if we don't transcend that domain of consciousness, we literally die. Like we extinct the human species. Because the context of survival and material consciousness sees us all as individuals, right? Remember how we said matter and aether, you know, are paradoxically true and yet seem to have opposite stories,
right?
Right. Like on the material sense, you look at yourself in a material sense, you're an individual. You're separate from everything.
Yep.
In an etheric sense, that's a very myopic way of looking at things, right?
Right, right.
Because in the etheric sense, there really is no separation. You are...
The consciousness that animates my form is the same consciousness that animates your form, and the separation physically is all illusory, right?
Sure. Well, and that's still somewhat like conceptual, though. Like what I'm wanting to get at is in a very practical sense, how do we apply that? Mm-hmm. And it's... You can just look in a very practical sense at anything that I do to you, Brandon. If I'm raising your possibilities, right, I'm raising them for the entire planet.
Right.
Which is then raising them for myself.
Right.
Yeah. If I lower your possibilities, I'm lowering them for the entire planet, which is lowering them for myself.
Right.
Myself. So getting that, like, it's a very practical way of like integrating that, you know, both of these realms of consciousness have value, you know, and they're both important, right? Like the material consciousness is very important to maintaining your physical form so that you can continue to live in the gift of the present.
Right.
And then on the etheric sense, that's also very valuable because it's almost like you can look at one as being farsighted and one as being nearsighted.
Right.
So the nearsighted stuff is really important for, you know, what's right in your field right now, what's going to keep you alive. And then the farsightedness is actually like has the capacity to really, you know, have us looking beyond, you know, the immediate impact that I have on you, and thinking that I can somehow escape that immediate impact, like that I can do something to you and get away with it.
Right.
Right. When in fact there is no getting away.
Yeah, it's like all deception, every deceptive act is an act of self-deception, is what I say, thinking of that very concept. Like people don't realize that you don't ever get away with any of the, you know, consequences of your actions and how, whether good or bad, you know, or, you know, positive or negative.
Let's not call them good or bad instead.
Right, I know, yeah.
Because
beneficial or right, totally. It's exactly what we're talking about not doing. But it's so entrained in us, you know, to do that.
Yeah. Like, does it serve us in what we're committed to and what we want or not?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
And then, you know, what I also like to look at in this is, you know, you get the cold context from material and etheric domains as heaven and hell also. Like the etheric realm is the heavenly realm. And living purely by the material domain is like living in hell. Wait, did I say? I think I might have said that twice. Etheric. And hell is the material.
Right.
Right, in that context. And it's like what when you look at pure survival consciousness, like dog eat dog sort of mentality, that's what we're talking about in terms of what hell is like, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in opposition with each other. Everybody is a threat. We, you know, have to, you know, kill or be killed. Right?
Right.
Consume or be consumed. And there's another like really beautiful distinction here that I love that is, you know, there's kind of what I'm looking at is like the goal for me. And I think for all of humanity in terms of like what we all really want deep down is to live in a space where we're able to feel free in our childlike essence to play.
Right.
And be safe and enjoy.
Lest you become like a child.
Right. Yeah. Where we can literally be like the divine children, right? Where we all love, care for and connect with each other.
It's one of my favorite, you know, Jesus quotes, lest you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got similar tenets in Buddhism also. And so the brilliance in that is like, I'm starting to give these different, what I like to call like kind of reinforcing living in one domain versus the other. Right. Like, so if we contextualize all of our life in the survival realm and the material realm, then we get to live in hell. And it requires a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Because it basically puts matter on top of our spirit. Right.
Right.
So it's like our spirit is actually imprisoned by the density, you know, of this kind of material domain of consciousness. Well, when we transform or transmute this level of existence, now our spirit is actually able to, and I like this too, because it actually works in the Christian mysteries of like the crucifixion, right? Like literally we're carrying this heavy cross, you know, like I think it was St. Francis who developed the mysteries of the crucifixion, right? Or the stations of the cross, you know, and there's like Jesus falls three times under the weight of the cross, right? You know, and he's wearing this crown of thorns, which has this superior way of seeing the world and operating. And he's the king of that world. And yet the pain that being a king of that world carries living in hell.
Right.
Right. It's like a crown of thorns. And I also love that because thorns come from like a rose bush, right?
And the what rose some is, say is the highest highest frequency is the rose frequency. I had a guy what? On, or actually, yeah, it's like the highest vibration is rose. So,
right. So it's brilliant in a sense, because you think about like in the material sense, you know, when you're living in the material sense, that kind of love is very thorny.
Mm-hmm.
It actually hurts. Because matter wants to possess. The whole context of material consciousness is holding on to physicality. Right? And yeah. Then the like divine eternal love is really anything. It actually, in not holding on to anything, it holds on to everything.
Right.
And this is the gift of this is what detachment gives us access to. It's so mm-hmm. profound, you know, mm-hmm. and yet it's also like to the material realm, detachment is scary as hell.
Yeah.
Right. Because it means that you have to have full faith and trust that you're going to be taken care of, and then you don't need to possess anything.
Right. And when you tie that into, you know, this sort of lack of holding on to anything or holding on to judgments, right? In general, for just to give an example of Lisa, who review, you know, I read the iTunes review earlier. Well, you know, let's look at her situation, 25 years of depression and all these things. And now where is she? She's overwhelmed with hope, right? Right. So how could she have that feeling?
Maybe overwhelm
of,
is not the word we're searching for, but like abundant with hope, overflowing.
Right. Yeah, that was her word, but that she used. But yeah, absolutely. It's like it's a very good experience, and or you know, there it is with good or bad again, an experience that lends a certain result that is desirable, a desirable outcome, and you can't have it without both sides of the coin from one perspective. So it's like you start to understand everything is like this, and all the quote unquote bad is ultimately serving the other side of the coin, and vice versa. And they're like, you know, they go together in a way that you start to say, okay, my level of judgment is a sort of a testament to my level of ignorance or, you know, lack of awareness. And it changes in the levity that comes with that. There, you're no longer carrying all of that, you know, all of that anger and things that are a byproduct of all the judgment and categorization.
Well, yeah. And that categorization also, I love this too, because categorization comes from another like concept, to me, which is rationalization. Mm-hmm. And I love that word also, you know, cause I feel like honestly, all of the secrets to the universe are really hidden from us in plain sight. You know, when you start mm-hmm. to actually look at these words, you know, and get into the etymology, they reveal so much.
Totally.
So if you look at source, right, everything that exists, like if we are to subscribe to this notion of God, right, then God created everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then at the same time, God is in everything. God is everything.
Right.
Right. Because you can't really separate a creation from the creator.
Right.
Right. Like when you create a piece of art, is expressed in that art, right? That art is you on another level.
It's your energy, a freeze frame in a sense of your energy.
Right. So when we think about words like judgment or categorization or something like that, now, basically what we're doing is we're rationalizing. We're literally in taking a point of view on something and putting it in a box. We're essentially, as soon as you put something in a box, you are now containing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in a sense, like you look at, I love this, like everything like relates and intersects here. Like you look at an atom, you know, and they talk about electrons, you know, on an atom and an atomic level being infinitely expansive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put them under a microscope, supposedly the electrons collapse to be observed so that we can see them. Just mm-hmm. kind of bizarre, right? even that totally. Suggests something like, wow, that there's this interesting relationship between like object and observer.
Yep.
Right. That they're actually like one in a strange way. Right.
Yeah. The way the double slit experiment basically shows this. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
Yeah. And so inside of that, it's like, where was I going with that? And I'm getting a little bit tangential and abstract here again.
it's bound to happen, Chris, with you.
Yeah.
But it's always so good. All right, everyone, that seems like a good place to put the pause on this episode for today. The next part of this will be in the next daily episode. So make sure and tune in, and we'll see you then.